Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another exciting Simchas Torah edition of your Jewish Experience radio program. We're right in the middle of the holiday of Sukkot, the time of our joy. And this joy is unbounded joy, real spiritual joy, that is not experienced like this during the rest of the year. And our hope is that we can take the strength of this joy into the rest of the year, and it will be motivating us to reach unparalleled heights of accomplishments, serving the one above, creating a dwelling place for him in this world, and paving the way for the ultimate joy, the coming of our righteous Mashiach. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, and I'll be your host for the next 60 minutes. As you get ready for Shabbos, we here at the Jewish Experience will be right with you, getting you in the mood for not just another Shabbos, but to get ready for the completion of the annual Torah cycle, with all the joy and dancing that goes with it, happening next week on Tuesday night. You'll want to find a synagogue and dance the night away, celebrating the completion of the annual cycle of reading the Torah, and more importantly, starting the beginning of the Torah all over again. You must never stop learning, but this is a night for dancing and celebration. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, and Chef Chaim Reisner are all here, while Musical Moish, who chose the music today, is, however, on location. We'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news, fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. This week's program is sponsored in part by Burton Hirsch Funeral Home and by Artistic Photography, when you want to get it right the first time. By the way, they also sponsor the Jewish Experience Radio program's website, jewishexperienceradio.com. Stop by for a visit and stay for a Jewish experience. Candlelighting time this week is no later than 6:13 p.m. So let's get those feet tapping and hands waving. It's time to celebrate with a lively Torah medley by Avraham Fried.
Bye. Amoloi, Sheyamoi, Sheyamoi, Tachat Hashemesh.
Amoloi, Sheyamoi, Kofei, Nei, Nei, Yisroi. Amoloi, Amoloi, Sheyamoi, Kofei, Yisroi.
As a revered Kabbalist, Shimon Bar Yochai once said, "The world is 99% spiritual and only 1% physical." And on Sukkot, we find that very, very revealed. Here's Rabbi Meir Goldwasser to show how it's so.
The first major festival that we celebrate after the day of Yom Kippur, the day when Hashem has cleansed us from all of our misdeeds, is the festival of Sukkot. It is therefore understandable that the festival of Sukkot contains instructions how we are to serve Hashem during the coming year. Regarding the mitzvah of the Sukkah, we find seemingly two contradictory themes. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us that during the days of the festival, the sukkah is to be considered our permanent dwelling, and therefore, the activities that we normally do in our house, such as eating and drinking, must be done in the sukkah. On the other hand, we know that the sukkah must be a temporary dwelling. It is for this reason that if a person builds a sukkah above 20 amos, it is invalid. The reason? In order to build a structure of this height, one must first make a solid, permanent basis. So we see two opposite themes regarding Sukkot. The explanation is, the Torah is telling us that we are to take these activities that are normally done in our home, activities that involve the material world, such as eating and drinking and so forth, and take them into a temporary dwelling, emphasizing that these activities are only secondary and incidental to our main purpose in life. which is learning Torah, doing the mitzvahs, and making this physical world a dwelling place for Hashem, making it ready for Moshiach. Another lesson that we can learn from the sukkah is, we are instructed that when we are involved in the material world, such as when we go to our workplace, we are to do this as part of serving Hashem, so that we can give tzedakah and send our children to learn Torah. So too, when we eat and we drink, we are to do this not merely for the sake of filling our stomach, rather, we are to do this in order to have strength to serve Hashem. In other words, with everything we do, we should do so as part of our service to Hashem. Where do we get the strength to be able to do this during the year? It is from the mitzvah of the sukkah. When we eat in the sukkah, when we drink in the sukkah, the eating and the drinking becomes a mitzvah. It is all part of the mitzvah of dwelling in the sukkah. And this gives us the strength to go out of the sukkah during the entire year and to do these same activities as part of our service to Hashem.
All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, but it's a comfort to know that in your time of need, that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association, and they work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. They're so concerned about meeting those total needs that they meet with area rabbis on a regular basis. They've reduced the cost of a funeral. They have packages specifically for your synagogue in your area, and it pays to check it out because you can save quite a bit. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. And Deborah Price, the funeral home supervisor, was born and raised in Pittsburgh, and she really wanted to come back here, and she's working very, very, very hard to meet the needs of the Jewish community in Pittsburgh, especially with regard to Price. Did you know that Burton Hirsch is also involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? So in your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. And they welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Deborah Price, supervisor. Don't forget, for your next Simcha, it's Artistic Photography. That's artistic-photography.com by Mordechai Saxon when you want to get it right the first time. Now, back to the music with Moshe Pekar.
Oh, Kiki Amadog Ro'ein Goy Echod Echod Ba'olem Ato Ato Echod Bishimecho Bishimecho Echod Kiki Amadog Ro'ein Goy Echod Echod Ba'olem
Now with a bit of Jewish history on the Jewish settlement movement and how it eventually ended up in Eretz Yisrael, here's Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Before the advent of the State of Israel, numerous individuals, both Jewish and non-Jewish, and even nations, have proposed different areas of the globe as sites for Jewish settlements, colonies, and even homelands. In the 1800s, a Jew named Emanuel Noah held discussions with the United States government on establishing the area of Goat Island near Niagara Falls as a place of mass Jewish settlement. However, the discussions never came to actuality. In the late 1800s, Baron Hirsch, a very wealthy Jew, bought land in Argentina to establish a Jewish farming colony, hoping to attract large numbers of Jews. Although some Jews came, it never became the large-scale settlement that Hirsch envisioned. Eventually, the Jews that came there left. When political Zionism became a force in the first few years of the 20th century, the British government offered Theodor Herzl the large African territory of Uganda, comprising today the nations of Kenya and Uganda, as a colony under the sovereignty of the British Crown, in which 1 million Jews could settle and administer the territory under a Jewish governor. Herzl lobbied tirelessly at the Sixth Zionist Congress in 1903 to have the delegates agree to this proposal, and indeed a majority voted in favor of Uganda. However, in 1904, Herzl suddenly died, and at the next Zionist Congress in 1905, Uganda was voted down in favor of Eretz Yisrael. The British were relieved, for the British settlers in East Africa opposed the idea and had large numbers of Jews settled in Uganda, they would have faced the combined hostility of the white British colonists and the native black Africans. In 1928, the Soviet government promoted the idea of an autonomous Jewish region in Siberia near China called Birobidzhan. At its peak in the 1930s, 35,000 Jews settled there, including foreign Jews from the United States and Palestine. Yiddish became the official language of Birobidzhan, both for Jews and non-Jews. Nevertheless, Jewish settlement dwindled after a few years. The land was not suited for farming, and it was bitter cold in the winter, and hordes of mosquitoes made life miserable in the summer. Today, a few thousand Jews still live in Birobidzhan. In 1940, after the fall of France, the Nazi German government envisioned the African island of Madagascar as a place of massive settlement for Poland's 3.5 million Jews. Nothing came of the idea, however. Incredibly, in the 1940s, Vietnamese leader Ho Chi Minh met David Ben-Gurion and invited Ben-Gurion to encourage Jews to move to Vietnam. May Hashem bring all the far-flung Jews back to the real Jewish homeland, the land of Israel, speedily in our days.
That was great, learning about the settlement movement and why it eventually ended up in Eretz Yisrael. So let's focus on Eretz Yisrael now and find out what's happening. Here you go. Here's Israel National News.
The United Nations Security Council is expected to push for sanctions against Syria on Tuesday when it discusses the investigation into February's assassination of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri. No official Israeli reaction to the findings of the report released Friday. The probe points the finger at Syrian generals and other high-ranking officials, their Lebanese puppets, and the Popular Front terrorist group headed by Ahmed Jibril. In spite of the stability provided by Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad, Israeli politicians left and right are calling for a change in the leadership in Damascus. Chairman Avigdor Lieberman of the National Union Party is one of a number of Israelis calling for the reins to be pulled in on Arab legislators such as Ahmed Tibi and Asmi Bishara, who have traveled to Israel's two northern neighbors. Lieberman says the Arab members of Knesset are using their parliamentary clout and immunity to advance the cause of terrorists and to strip Israel of its Jewish character. Dr. Tibi calling this past week for foreign governments to direct Israel to spend aid money it receives on its Arab communities in proportion to their percentage of the population. Reserve Lieutenant Colonel Meir Endor, who heads an organization seeking to assist victims of terror attacks, plans to turn to the Attorney General in response to the actions of the Arab legislators, saying they act as if they are a legislative extension of the PLO. Tibi was, in fact, an advisor to the late PLO chairman Yasser Arafat. Most Arabs in the PLO-assigned areas want Prime Minister Ahmed Koury to quit, and more than 75% of the people distrust security officials, according to a poll by the PLO reported by United Press International. Most respondents say PLO security officials are not working properly and should resign. Half of the respondents say an open conflict between the PLO and Hamas is likely. Israel will be included in a European Union forum scheduled to convene in the coming weeks. to address the growing global concerns surrounding bird flu. This past week, experts from Israel and Jordan discussed concerns pertaining to the spread of the illness, as well as reviewing the necessary steps to be taken. The two sides agreed to continue cooperating, and another meeting is set to take place in the coming weeks as well. Israeli officials also requested that Jordan update Israel on the situation in the region vis-a-vis neighboring Arab nations and the illness, since other political parties refused to take part in this past week's meeting. Senior officials in the medical community are expressing concerns over the critical shortage of hospital beds and internal medicine units. According to hospital directors, the units are generally filled during the warmer months, and with a difficult flu season predicted during the winter, the situation will be exacerbated. Officials explain that when elderly patients are hospitalized with the flu, placing them on a bed in a hallway is not enough. The patients require constant care and monitoring and the ability to push a call button to summon assistance should they require aid. The health ministry's plan to add 3,000 beds nationwide has not been implemented, and it's not realistic to expect it in time to assist with this year's flu season. Ministry officials say the additional beds will help ease the problem but not solve it. We've been talking all week about the festival centered around the music of singing Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach, scheduled for Sunday afternoon and evening in Mavo Modi'in between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Festival founder Ben-Sion Solomon and Sons, Para Aduma, and En Safek, the musical act scheduled to perform between 6 and 8 p.m. when Israel National Radio broadcasts from the festival. Co-founder Michael Gollum talks about being with Rabbi Carlebach during the Sukkot festival for the waving of the agricultural species and the hakafot, or processions around the synagogue, among other aspects of the holiday.
It was just such a high experience. Actually, you know, you felt the earth shaking when after we do it. It was like for another world. And then doing hakafas with him. So Shana Rabba, one year we did it with instruments, hakafas. And it was so deep and so special. I can remember today. And just sitting and learning in Sukkot with Shlomo. You know, Shlomo was super genius. And learning the moment, the deepest or the simplest stuff, and it went straight to the bone marrow, went straight to the center of your heart.
Carlebach Festival organizer Michael Gollum, who says for the first time this year, following the music, there will be all-night learning. For tickets before or after Shabbat, call 03-527-6677. Shabbat is Yud Teta, the 19th day of Tishrei on the Jewish calendar, and the forecast from the Israel National Radio Weather Center, clear to partly cloudy and slightly warmer through Sunday with no significant change on Monday. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
And we want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat and a very joyous Simchas Torah. And the Mazel Tovs for this week. In this joyous time, we have some joyous Mazel Tovs. Mimi and Mitch Mazlik on the Bar Mitzvah of their son, Shui. Bennett Goldstein and Rena Becker on the Bar Mitzvah of their son. Gail and Bill Hoffman on the birth of a grandson in Israel. And Elvira and Murray Pfeffer on the engagement of a granddaughter. And events happening around the community. We got some great things going on, especially for the holiday of Sukkot. The yeshiva has a Beis HaShoeva, or Sukkah party, that's going to take place this Saturday night at the corner of Hobart and Whiteman at the yeshiva school's courtyard. The entire community is invited. There'll be refreshments, there'll be music, and guess what? You'll get to see the staff of the Jewish Experience in person. I'll be there playing the drums, and Moshe Bakar will be there playing the keyboard. So if you want to come out and see us, we'd love to see you, and we'll hope to see you there. The bid for the future goods and services auction will be October 23rd. The silent auction will be 6:30, live auction 7:30. Call Beth Shalom at 412-421-2288. And the health fair and blood drive, October 30th, will start at 8:30 a.m. and go right into 1:30 p.m. Call Beth Shalom at 412-421-2288. The Israel Chamber Orchestra is performing at Heinz Hall, 8 p.m., Tuesday, November 1st. It's a one-night-only exclusive Pittsburgh appearance. Mr. Chuck Perlow will receive the Sholem Award at the dessert reception. Call LaCarlo for more information at 412-420-0220. And the meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous meets at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. This program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. For more information, call Ilan at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, please call 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 6:13 p.m. And now it's time for the feminine perspective. Here's Deborah DeLynn.
And we're halfway through Sukkot. We've been shaking the lulav and esrog, attending shul, and participating in meals with family and friends. Next big event, Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. Renowned as times of great joy and dancing, Simchas Torah celebrates not only the completion of the Torah cycle, really the excitement of beginning of learning it again. At any shul you go to, you can be sure to find Hakafos, dancing with the Torah, going on until late in the night and probably into the early hours of the morning. You know, one problem that always bothered me, at many places, including the shul I attend, the women have been known to sit and watch the men dancing instead of getting up and dancing themselves. Now, of course, this doesn't apply to all places, but I've actually heard it's very common. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't think that the woman should go into the men's section and imitate the men's dancing. No, we women have a way of dancing that is just unique to us. For example, if you go to a wedding, we can see how many different kinds of dance patterns there are. And you can see the joy on the faces of all of those participating. Dancing brings joy. For who can resist the smiling face of a kala dancing at her wedding? There's so much joy and purity on her face. When Jewish people dance, we are using our body to express the elation of our soul. For women in particular, throughout history, we have been known to serve Hashem through dance. In the Navi, the Book of Prophets, the Jewish maidens were always dancing to show their thanks to Hashem for helping them win a war against their enemies. At the splitting of the Red Sea, the Jewish women took out tambourines and danced while singing Az Yashir, the song of thanksgiving. And in the Purim story, Vashti, the wicked queen, was killed on Shabbos because she prevented her Jewish maidens from dancing and singing to Hashem on Shabbos. Do you realize how important our dancing is to Hashem? Why, then, do we sit and watch the men? I remember a woman who used to live in our community, and many women will remember her as well. Her name was Bluma Pesha, Aleha Shalom. Every Simchas Torah, she would come over to me and my circle of friends and dance with us and tell us, "Come, girls, it's Simchas Torah, let's dance." When the other women would see us girls dancing, they would join us. However, a couple years ago, after a long battle with disease, she returned her soul to Hashem. Her message remains clear, though. When Jews dance, we are serving Hashem in a special way, we women especially. We must utilize this gift to the fullest potential and serve Hashem with it in the best way possible. Reb Shmuel Munkus was a famous chassid of the Alter Rebbe. He was known as a man of great wit and humor and always made jokes to bring out a lesson. There was once this famous story of Reb Shmuel. One day, he and his friends were enjoying a holiday meal, eating delicious food and drinks, and of course, many l'chaims. After eating, they are ready for dessert. Reb Shmuel looked around and spotted a kugel cooling on the counter. With great joy, he and the others made a l'chaim and dug right in. The Rebbe Sisterna, the Alter Rebbe's wife, came into her kitchen to finish preparing the meal for the Alter Rebbe. With great dismay, she saw that the kugel was missing from the counter. She went to Reb Shmuel and saw the empty dish on the table. With great indignation, she went to the Alter Rebbe, who then called for a beis din. The Rebbe asked Reb Sisterna to share her complaints. She poured out her soul to him, saying how she prepared a delicious kugel for the Rebbe, and the chutzpah of Reb Shmuel how he took that kugel. The Alter Rebbe called Reb Shmuel and said, "Nu, what's your complaint?" Reb Shmuel replied, "Me? I have no complaints. The kugel was delicious." Why did I tell you this story? Quite simply, to give you a laugh, put a smile on your face, and get you ready for dancing on Simchas Torah. Our dancing brings joy. Our joy, in turn, can revert a bad decree. As it is stated, Simcha parets geder. Simcha breaks all boundaries. So get out there and dance.
Yeah.
right, I hope you're ready. He's back, Chef Chaim Reisner of Chaim'sKosherKitchen.com. And he's ready with another incredible Shabbos and holiday recipe. Here's Chaim.
Thanks, Hirsch. Now that Shabbos is ending earlier, I plan to offer some wonderful Malava Malka specialties that have become favorites. Today we're going to do French onion soup and a special salad. For the soup, you'll need one Italian or French stick bread sliced on an angle, 1 inch thick. You'll need 1 cup of extra virgin olive oil. Brush sides of the bread with the olive oil. Place in an oven set at 450 degrees. And brown the bread on both sides. Remove and set aside. When it's cool, take a piece of peeled garlic and rub the bread on both sides and save for later. Now for the soup, 2 large Spanish onions, peeled and sliced thin, 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil, 3/4 cup of flour, 6 tablespoons of Parve chicken soup stock powder, 10 to 12 cups of water, a pinch of cayenne pepper, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 2 cups of grated mozzarella cheese. Now I like to use 4 to 6 onion soup tureens. They're the type that have either a single handle or 2 little ceramic handles, one on each side. Now to make the soup, using a large soup pot, place the olive oil in the pot. You want to place the onions in the olive oil and simmer them until they're glossy. Stir in the flour slowly until it's all coated, and then slowly stir in the water and bring it to a simmer until it's nice and thick. Then you'll add the salt, stock, cayenne pepper. You want to simmer that for at least 20 minutes. To serve the soup, place 1 slice of bread in a soup tureen. Cover the bread all the way up to the top of the tureen with the soup, leaving about 1/2 inch, and generously sprinkle in the mozzarella cheese until it comes to a mound on the top of the bowl. Place that in an oven, set to 450 degrees, keep an eye on it, and leave it there until the cheese melts and slightly starts to turn brown. Remove. You can set those on a trivet. I use bamboo round trivets on the plate. Put the tureen on the plate, and that's a wonderful soup that I developed years ago for the wonderful Shomer Shabbos Cafe that we had in New Jersey called Cafe Devora. That was a soup that became a favorite for many, many years. Now for the salad, this is a little unusual. You'll need 1/2 of a French endive, that's the curly endive, 1 scallion sliced thin, 1/2 a head of escarole, 5 medium mushrooms sliced thin, 1/2 of red leaf lettuce, 1/2 of Belgian endive, and you want to soak that and wash it well and dry that. Break them into 1 to 2 inch size pieces. Place them all in a salad bowl. Add 4 generous tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 1 teaspoon of salt, fresh ground black pepper. Toss it well, and voila, there you have it. And guess what, Hershey, you made it. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. We'll see you next week.
Can a moderate leadership emerge in a post-Arafat Palestinian society where children are recruited to be suicide bombers? Will the U.S. play a greater role in the quest for peace in the Middle East? How are American Jews and the issues we care about affected by Bush's presidency? What do Larry David, Natalie Portman, Jon Stewart, and Madonna all have in common? Who makes the best kosher hot dogs? Read the foreword and find out. Keep up with tradition and what's new and changing. Enjoy award-winning reviews and arts coverage, exclusive reporting on stories found nowhere else, provocative editorials, and news analysis on issues affecting all of us. More than ever, we need to stay in touch. And there's no better way than reading the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. Try it for 4 weeks free. You'll then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first 4 issues free. Call now for the Forward.
Call now for the Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. Tell them you heard it here on The Jewish Experience. Don't forget, for your next Simcha, it's artistic photography. That's artistic-photography.com by Mordechai Saxon when you want to get it right the first time. And now, back to the music with
Moshe Popov.
One, two, three, oh!
If anybody can bring Mashiach, it's the singing of Mordechai ben David. And let's wrap it up today with Kiata by Shlomo Dasko.
Kathy, let's be fast, boy. Count the shimmy.
שרי כסים לטיפה כי עשו מלך מלחיים לוחים מחסיני צח לא אירוי ספיחי סף פיסוי בהירי צבוע כי עשו מלך מלחיים לוחים מחסיני צח לא אירוי ספיחי סף פיסוי בהירי צבוע מלחיים לוחים מלחי סייני צח נוי רוי ספיחים ספיסוי בהירי יצגו כי יפו במילך מלחיים לוחים מלחי סייני צח נוי רוי ספיחים ספיסוי בהירי יצגו כאב בשיני רוח נוי ממידי Let's be far away. Yeah, to be made of my khayam lukhim. Mach es in Neza. No, I don't know if I'm going to say that I'm going to say that I'm going to say that. Yeah, to be made of my khayam lukhim. Mach es in Neza. No, I don't know if I'm going to say that I'm going to say that I'm going to say that.
And with another inspirational story of Sukkos, here once again is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Jealousy is a very bad trait, which, as it says in Pirkei Avos, can drive a person from the world. There was a very rich man who lived across the street from a very poor man. The rich man was very jealous of his poor neighbor. The reason? Even though the rich man could afford whatever he wanted to have, however, in his house, there was always strife and controversy. Across the street, in the poor man's house, there was hardly any furniture at all to sit on, or any food to eat. However, whenever the poor man sat down with his family, there was always a feeling of harmony and togetherness. This was the reason that the rich man was so jealous. His jealousy would reach great heights during the festival of Sukkot, when everyone eats outside in their sukkah, and here the rich man would pass by and see in front of his eyes the peace and tranquility which reigned in the poor man's house. One year, he decided that he had had enough. Being that he employed most of the people in the town, he told them that no one at all was allowed to lend the poor man any wood so that he could build his sukkah. When it came near to the festival of Sukkot, the poor man went around as he did every year, trying to borrow a board from this person and a board from that person in order to build his sukkah. This year, however, to his great dismay, no one would lend him wood to build the sukkah. And so, on Erev Sukkot, the night before Sukkot, when everyone was busy finishing their sukkahs, the poor man was very distraught and decided to go for a walk. He began walking for a short while, and then all of the sudden, he changed his direction and began walking toward the outskirts of the town. The next night, when the rich man was about to leave the synagogue to come home, he was sure that now he would not have to put up with the poor man and his sukkah, where there was peace and tranquility. How astonished he was when, as he turned the corner to walk down the street where he lived, he saw the poor man sitting together with his family in the sukkah. He could contain himself no longer. He barged into the poor man's sukkah and demanded to know how he was able to build the sukkah. The poor man told him that we must go outside to discuss this, as his family was all gathered at the table. The poor man then explained, on the night before Sukkot, he began to take a walk. And who did he meet? None other than the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death. The poor man asked the angel of death what he was doing in their community. And he answered that he had come to take the life of the rich man for his evil deed of trying to make it that the poor man would not be able to observe the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. The poor man then told the rich man, "I argued with the angel of death. I told him, it is not necessary to take the rich man's life because he has died hundreds of times already because of his great jealousy." The angel of death accepted his argument, and the angel of death said, "I have jurisdiction over the cemetery. Go to the cemetery, and there you will find boards. For if a person is poor and not able to purchase a matseva, a monument to mark his grave, they take boards that are prepared in the cemetery to put up as his monument. On each board there is written the two letters, Pei Nun, standing for the words Po Nitman, here there is buried. Take these boards and you will be able to build your sukkah." As the rich man looked up at the poor man's sukkah, indeed he saw that each one of the boards was marked with these letters. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
And a few reminders as we wrap up the program today. The Yeshiva Beis HaShoeva Sukkah Party is going to take place this Saturday night. And don't forget to come by Hobart and Whiteman right after Shabbos is over. The bid for future goods and services auction, October 23rd. Call Beth Shalom at 412-421-2288. Also, the Health Fair and Blood Drive, October 30th. Call Beth Shalom again, 412-421-2288. The Israel Chamber Orchestra is performing at Heinz Hall Tuesday, November 1st at 8 p.m. Call the Colo for more information on that, 412-420-0220. And the meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening. Program is a recovery group. Call Alana for more information at 412-422-2224. And with the Sabbath approaching ever earlier, we really got to get out of here and get home to get ready. But before we do, I want to be sure to thank our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Devorah DeLynn, and Chef Chaim Reisner for another outstanding show. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is, guess what, the same number of mitzvahs in the Torah, 613. It's 6:13 p.m.
What a number.
Well, until next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat and a very Simchas Torah.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat. Malachi Yashalom, Malachi Yashalom.